we're going to hit one of these young guys, young lions, these guys who are under 40, that's what I call young. Okay, today we're going to deal with Christian Scott. He now calls himself Christian Scott Atunde Aduja. Okay, he's taken on the whole African existence that we are as African Americans in this country. And when you offer New Orleans, you get an extra dose of that. He landed on this planet in March of 1983, March 31st, I think, of 83. His mother was from the great Harrison family. We'll talk about that in a minute. One of the great musical families in New Orleans. And his father was Brother Scott, who kind of played around with music on the side, amateur musician, but not really. I think he just liked mom. That's what happened. And together, they had little Christian. And off we go. So, you know, you're growing up in New Orleans. You're in this great family. Your mother's father is the great chief, not just a chief. He is the great chief of the Black Indians. Black Indians, yeah. Mardi Gras Indians, yeah. Afro Mardi Gras Indians, yeah. Black folks who dress up in elaborate costumes and masking, and they perform in doing the Mardi Gras, sometimes in the main parade and sometimes in little parades in the little boroughs and communities that make up the Black sections of New Orleans. There are like almost 40 tribes. They call themselves tribes. Why are they called the Indians? Well, they are paying respect to the people who saved them during slavery. You see, this tradition of the Black Indians goes back to at least the mid-19th century, maybe before. I would say almost as soon as we had the Emancipation Proclamation, these people started celebrating the fact that during slavery, it was the Native Americans who took them in, that protected them, and gave them some freedom by hiding them within their tribal regions and in their teepees and in their huts, and they intermarried and they continued to have this relationship. And even when these Native Americans were transported further west, the Blacks never forgot what these wonderful Native Americans had done for them, and that is why this tradition continues to this very day. It's very important to understand that, because this is a tradition under which Christian Scott was raised. He understood this particular history. So you should assume it is probably going to have an effect on his music. We'll talk about how that effect is going to manifest itself a little bit down the road. Now, he's doing pretty well. He's doing like most guys. He's practicing. He's doing his thing. It's going really well, you know. Somewhere like around 12 years old, his uncle, Donald Harrison Jr., Uncle Donald Harrison Jr., saxophone player. Yeah. He comes over and starts helping little Christian Scott out. Giving him little music lessons, helping him with this, helping him with that, helping him with this, helping him with that. Somewhere around 14 or so, he ends up going to New Orleans School for Creative Arts. Instead of with Brother Jordan and some other great jazz musicians that were household words around New Orleans, and they started raising him up really, really strong. Donna Harrison kept with him, and somewhere around 14 started playing gigs with him, and about 16, he took him into his recording studio as a part of his quintet. Yeah, and they recorded the album. Similar to what Miles did, Kind of Blue, except this album is called Kind of New. You might want to go find that, because it also informed Christian's journey. He's always been stretching to find something new, to put new things together, new sound, new rhythms, new melodies, new harmonic structures, new progressions, always new. New language, And he's well equipped to do that. Because his education, when his uncle was interrupted, when he ended up getting a full scholarship, full, they're going to pay everything to the Berklee School of Music. This is very, very rare. The only other musician I know recently to get one of those is Esperanza Spalding, which we will deal with her a little bit later as well. Full scholarship, so there he goes to Boston. And he stayed there and got his degree. Yes, he did. Most jazz musicians don't do that. He stayed there and got that degree. But he got the degree in under 30 months. That's right. A four-year degree in less than 30 months. So that tells you something about his work ethic and his intellect and his understanding of all that has to do with music, especially the music he has chosen. We will call it jazz for now. Now, immediately upon recording under his own name, he started getting acclaim. Not so much in America. I like to say home is where the hatred is. And a lot of times, jazz musicians, matter of fact, most often, jazz musicians are more appreciated abroad than they are in this country. So his first awards were called the Edison Awards, and they are given as the Dutch equivalent of the Grammy. He won two in a row for his very first two recordings, although they were not so favorably looked upon in this country. He did, however, during the course of his life so far, get five Grammy nominations, and we'll continue talking about that. After finishing at Berklee, he started working as a sideman with anyone that wanted a great trumpet player with them, or a great composer, or just a great producer. He did it all because his major at Berklee was professional music and film scoring. So he is a composer who is a trained composer as well. He's always had this socio-political side, very concerned for the plight of African Americans in this history, in this country, and he knows well the dismal history that this country has endowed us with. He's made many albums, as I have said, but somewhere around 2017, not somewhere around exactly 2017, he made the Centennial Commemorative album, Perspective. It was looking back at 100 years of jazz recordings. And he did this with a very jaundiced eye, because he knows that the first recording made was not made by black folks. It was made by the original Dixieland jazz man. And no blacks in that. And the tune that was so popular was called the Livery Stable Blues. And black musicians at the time used to make fun of it. But these guys were making a whole lot of money, and they even called themselves the originators of jazz, since they recorded it first. And let's just say there was some serious racism going on in this country at that time. And this particular group of gentlemen wrapped themselves in that racism and tried to disparage everything that blacks had done to create this music years before they ever made that first recording. But because of the situation in America, blacks were not being recorded, and they got to make the first, quote, jazz recording. So Christian Scott is dealing with that. And I think the first one is called, first album, he had a trilogy. The first album is called Royal Rebel. The second album is called Diaspora. The third one is called emancipation, not proclamation. No. Emancipation procrastination. Yeah, you can feel that, right? Not a lot of love in that. And that album, by the way, was nominated for a Grammy for the most outstanding contemporary jazz album in 2018, I think. So Christian Scott has been very, very busy. His music is called stretch music. And people, what is that? Well, it's a little bit different kind of jazz. You see, he says we're not trying to break jazz. We are just trying to expand the rhythmic and melodic and harmonic properties of jazz to take in other idioms, other cultures, other musics from around the world. And of course, if you grew up in New Orleans, you grew up with that to begin with. So for him, stretch music is borrowing a little from Brazil or from Cuba or from rock or from folk or from classics or from rumba or from Africa or from the Orient or from Islamic culture or from, yes, whatever he can hear, he is going to make this great musical gumbo. And he is stretching the bounds of what we call jazz. It maintains the creativity. It maintains the improvisation. It maintains the vitality. It maintains the attitude, but it starts to incorporate some things that are not always associated with jazz. Christian Scott is one of the most important figures on the jazz scene today. He still works with his uncle, Donald Harrison. They still record together. I have a couple of their recordings, and they're always great. So look, if you have not yet discovered Christian Scott, go out and just buy one. Any of them that he has made over the last 10 years or so would be a wonderful place for your ears to start a completely new journey. And all of this from a young man who was born in New Orleans, March 31st, 1983, into one of the most powerful musical families and into that very, very special culture of Black Indians that is somehow cloaked in secrecy, almost like a secret society to this very day, but pays homage to the special relationship between Native Americans and Africans, slaves that had developed over a couple hundred years during the course of slavery. Oh, did I mention Christian Scott can play his butt off too? Oh yeah, some of the people he's working with right now, Dio Croker, great trumpet player from Leesburg, Florida, as a matter of fact. Check his work out. You will see Christian Scott has expanded his music. He stretched him a little bit. If you've been listening to Diana Krall, you may notice that her music is starting to stretch a little bit. Oh yeah, Christian Scott got something to do with that too. So he's not just trying to stretch his own music. There are other very powerful and successful artists who also want that special stretching that Christian Scott brings to the studio. Thank you very much for listening, I hope you go check this powerful young man out. Christian Scott, baby.